You've published a book which is dedicated to your wife, Hazel.
Yes.
Right. Was there a particular reason for actually getting that published? Was it perhaps to pass something on to the family? Or?
No, I don't think so. It was just a natural dedication, as it seemed at the time. Livy will tell you I loved her very much, and I wanted to do something, to dedicate something to her that would remember the two of us together. It is a sheer joy.
It's a lovely answer. This is a hard question for anybody to answer. What do you get out of reading poetry? Why do you do it?
Because it's the most beautiful thing I know. Writing a poem, to me, a completion of a poem successfully, and reading it through afterwards and thinking this is rhythmic and it gives something out more than mere words. That's what I get. I'm a sheer joy. I love doing it. I'd do it even if I got no reward. It's genuine, and it's something I, even if I got no reward, I would still do it because I love it. And the reward is reading a line of your own verse and suddenly think, that's not bad. You didn't read the poem about dignity, did you? But it's one that was quite effective. If you care to read
it. I'll read it to Marjorie. Dignity. What am I doing here? The stranger said, as the gilded doors moved silently apart. You need our help, a quiet voice replied, to cure your pains or mend a broken heart. I am old, the stranger said. Allow me, please, my dignity. What do you have to offer me inside? The milk of human kindness, the voice replied. You are an honoured guest. Long may you remain with memories of many a happy day until you receive, by God's abiding grace, the final dignity of time and space.
You can keep, I've found, you can keep on and on and never be very successful. On the other hand, you can keep on and write poems, and one will stand out in the middle of all the 50, 60, however many you write, and suddenly you'll realize that that's the poet of your dreams, and you'll try and go, you may try and go on, or that's how I find it, and get the most intense pleasure out of doing it. I've also played a lot of cricket and hockey and all sorts of other. I've enjoyed manly sports, but if I want something to kiss my soul, it's got to be a beautiful verse, and I will always be proud of it. Till they bury me with it, probably.
Yes, that'll go with you.
Thank you very much. That's fantastic. I do appreciate it. And I've very much enjoyed listening.
Thank you very much for coming.
I was speaking to Tony Holmes with his daughter Libby Starrock. The poems were kindly read by Phil Martin. All proceeds from Tony's poetry book, Ebb and Flow, go to the RNIB, the Royal National Institute for the Blind. For more information, contact Libby Starrock by email at libby.starrock@icloud.com. That's Libby, Libby, dot Starrock, Sturrock, at iCloud, iCloud.com. And we have two more poems for you.
Fallow. A combine harvester in action spoils a cornfield's laissez-faire. It's reaping, binding, masterminding, winnows chaff bits everywhere, and mixes them with diesel smells in clouds of angry decibels. After this, the plough and harrow up and down the cropless field churn and turn the stubble trouble left by harvest's barley yield. They leave it featureless and shallow, needing convalescence, fallow. Fallow, really laissez-faire, wind and rain will scatter seeds. Spring sees nature's colours spilling from the stems of darling weeds. Scarlet poppies, pregnant, waiting, wild oats wander, deviating. Hedges saved from savage slashing, nourish tips of tender green. Habitat for birds and beetles, nature doesn't do routine. Serried ranks of dark green nettles guard the rampant dog rose petals. In the thorny, thickless nesting, restless sparrows, hungry chicks, half protesting, half digesting, frantic father's wormy mix. And in the ditch, with queen's permission, urgent ants on royal mission. Not this year the gaudy splendour, harsh against a Norfolk sky, oilseed rape and dusky cornfields, filling barns with wheat and rye. But Mother Nature on display, a fallow field on holiday. Close of play. When I was young and innocent and cricket reigned supreme, I dreamt I played in paradise upon a village green. How winsome was the wicket there when I ran up to bowl. I played and prayed and eulogised with all my heart and soul. I sauntered over London Bridge to show them in the city that the banking scene may be routine, but not to Walter Mitty. I told elite Threadneedle Street about a better dream, not of the London Stock Exchange, but just a village green. I strapped a pack upon my back and stumbled in the sand, choked in the western desert, smoke and tried to understand. What happens to a paradise when armies intervene? There is no paradise, they said, nor any village green. The great man gave the victory sign as Spitfires split the air. A cheering crowd stood tall and proud across Trafalgar Square. I found another village green and won myself a bride, a dream of paradise once more, with Hazel at my side. My dream was many years ago, and as my eyesight fails, I need her guiding hand in mine to reach the altar rails, to share the blessed bread and wine and offer up a prayer for a village green in paradise to end my innings there.